This is February the 5th, and this in the year 2001, and this is Bob Gilgore interviewing Shirley Davis at her home at 1102 Brenda Court. Good afternoon, Shirley. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing? How are you doing?
Doing good, thank you. I appreciate your talking with me today. I want to begin just with a broad question about what life was like for you growing up in Chapel Hill. And did you grow up in Chapel Hill?
Yes, I'm born and raised in Chapel Hill.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And what was it like for you growing up?
Oh, it was wonderful. I enjoyed my childhood.
What were your parents like?
Oh, I had wonderful parents. I really did. I was sort of like, they say, I was a spoiled child.
Were you a single child?
No, I had a brother, but he was 6 years older than I was. But I was the only girl, and I really enjoyed my childhood, and I experienced a lot of things in my childhood that I'm glad I experienced when I was a child.
Can you share some of those with me?
Well, one thing, I was raised up with a white family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really they were Jewish, but we considered them as white, but I really had a wonderful childhood with them, and to this day I still go see them. And,
who were they?
The Miltons, Milton Julian family.
Uh-huh.
Virginia Julian, the mother, and my mother worked for them about 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in their home, and they grew up in my home.
So you knew their children? And
oh yeah, it was seven kids, and the oldest boy, his name was Andy. He died on campus, overdose back in 1960, I think it was.
Seven children. What were your parents like?
My parents were wonderful. My mother was a hard-working woman. My father was a hard-working man and joyful man. He loved animals. You could come to my house, you might see a snake in my house.
Dogs, cats?
Dogs, cats, rats. Anything he could tame, he had it. Alligator in the bathtub, anything. And my mother, she loved flowers, so she was like a yard person. But I had a wonderful family. My grandmother, I stayed one block from my mother's house. My grandmother stayed, and I was back and forth from Merritt Mill Road to Graham Street.
So you lived on Graham Street or Merritt Mill, which one?
Both.
Oh, you lived
both.
On both.
Yeah.
Where was your parents' home?
My parents' home was on Graham Street.
Uh-huh. And your grandparents weren't far away?
A block away, Merritt Mill Road, which same road that Lincoln High is on.
Did you have aunts, uncles in the area with you?
Yes, my uncle lived with my grandparents.
What did your father do?
My father was a custodian at sorority house.
Uh-huh. At a sorority?
Is that the girls?
Yes.
Yeah, sorority.
Uh-huh.
For 35 years at Sigma Chi.
And he was a custodian there? What did he do as a custodian?
Well, Daddy did a lot of things, but he was hired for custodian to take care of the place, and he also cooked for the boys.
Uh-huh. But it was a sorority, but
yeah.
He cooked for the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the boys come from?
All from different parts of the state.
Were those boys that he cooked for part of the fraternity?
Yeah, they were fraternity boys.
They were fraternity, so he did custodian for a sorority house,
mm-hmm.
and cooked for a fraternity house.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever go to the sorority or the
fraternity?
Oh
yeah, I was always there, in and out, breakfast, lunch, supper.
So you had your meals there?
Sometimes,
uh-huh.
Whenever I wanted to go eat. Mm-hmm.
Did they treat your dad all right?
Oh, they just loved him, yeah. They even named one of the rooms after him, after he passed away.
Did his role as a worker there extend to more than just cooking?
Well, no, he just took care of the place.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know, you know, he just took care of the place.
You were talking about your dad, Shirley, and that he was a cook?
Yep.
Did the fraternity allow him to bring food home? Were they kind to him, and how they paid him or treated him?
Oh no, he bought anything he wanted home. I mean, every night he would bring steak home, every night. they had steak at from Turner House every night, but they had about everything he wanted home, you know, he had no problem with it.
And how long did you say he worked there?
35 years.
35
years. Yeah, he retired from Signal County.
Was your father a drinker?
Yes, he drank.
Did the fraternity ever reward him with alcohol?
No, not to my knowledge. No.
Did you ever see him abusive?
No.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever see him drunk?
No.
So he would drink, but it was in moderation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about when you would be out on the streets playing, if you misbehaved, or if you were in downtown Chapel Hill and you didn't behave?
Well, I was always brought up that you had to respect your elders, and racial was not an issue at that time about who was adult or who couldn't talk to you, but I wasn't allowed to talk back to an adult.
And if black I
did,
or white.
Black or white. If I did something wrong, they had the right to either spank me or tell me what to do or what not to do. And then if I did something wrong and it got back to my parents, I was in double trouble.
So you got spanked again?
Spanked, punished, whatever.
Did you see that same sort of thing going on in the white community as well? That same kind of respect your elders?
Yes. Chapel Hill was so small, downtown and uptown was just like one block or two blocks from each other, you know. And just about all the blacks that was raised in Chapel Hill knew everybody on Franklin Street. As far as the store owners, mm-hmm. and in Carver, Mr. White in Carver, and Cliff Stone shop in
Carver.
Yeah, meat market. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cliff know me right now from a child, you know, because I knew his father. My grandfather used to take me to his store all the time. And it was so small, everybody knew everybody.
So did you feel that the same sort of thing that went on in your community, that you got into double trouble if you misbehaved, some adult would discipline you? Did you feel that the same thing went on in the white community as well?
Well, I feel like most of it did, the ones that we grew up with or grew up around.
Uh-huh.
And like, you know, the old saying where you sit around and you hear older people talk, we even were pointed out some of the people that were said to be clean. But the thing about that, my grandfather always said, you be nice to whoever be nice to you. And even the ones that we thought were clean, they were nice to us, so we were nice to them, you know. And there was a few white people that were clean, and they didn't care if you knew it, but they gave us respect, we gave them respect. Like, he's not living now. His name was Elmer Pendergraft. He used to own a fence station on the corner of Miro.
Uh-huh.
And he definitely was a clan. Now, this is nothing I heard. I mean, I knew he was a clan. I just lived like three houses from his shop. And sometime at night, about four or five of us that lived in the neighborhood, when they had their meetings, we would always sneak and listen. But he was real nice. He was a nice man. And he gave us respect, and we gave him respect.
What kind of a house did you live in, Charlie?
I lived in a four-bedroom house, two-storage, on Graham Street. My grandparents had a three-bedroom house, two bedrooms upstairs and downstairs, which the house is still there now.
And when you were growing up in that house, was the house painted? With wood painted on the house?
Yeah, mm-hmm. With the white paint, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have electricity?
Yeah, we had less electricity.
Indoor plumbing?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We had TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you didn't feel you grew up poor?
No. I can't say I grew up poor, no. Because, like I said, my parents had anything they wanted because they worked hard and they bought it. And if it was something that my mother or father decided they wanted, they got it.
So your father worked two jobs?
No.
No?
No. My father worked one job.
But you said he was a cook for a fraternity and a custodian for a sorority.
But that's why I was asking you, a sorority of girls.
Yes.
No, he just worked at Sigma Kappa.
I see. So he just did that for...
He was the cook and caretaker of the place Sigma Kappa. Mm-hmm.
So in the summer when they weren't there...
He took care of the place.
He took care of it.
Yeah.
Love it. Did he do repairs?
Oh, yeah. He did everything. He was like, you know... He was like the father of the place.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Did they ever make him a member?
Yes, uh-huh.
They made him an honorary member?
Yeah, yeah.
Could he paddle?
I don't know.
he didn't share that with you.
No, but I know they made him a member because when they made him a member, they named one of the rooms, the activity ballroom, they named him after him.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And his nickname, they called him Coon Davis.
When you were growing up, did you have a dictionary in your home? Did you have books around?
We had a dictionary.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you have an encyclopedia?
No.
What was your parents and grandparents'
education
and their stimulus? How did they handle your education?
Well, my mother handled my education. She just always wanted me to finish school, and she also finished school, and she went to nursing school. And my father, he didn't finish school. And my mother always made sure that I had my homework done before I could do anything else. But sometimes, you know, when you're coming up, we used to just run in the house, throw the books down, go out the back door. But I had to do my homework before I went to bed.
Uh-huh. Where did you play after school?
Well, we went to community center, which is Hargrave now.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That was sort of a gathering place for
that
everybody?
That was the gathering place for everybody, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Did your grandparents tell you anything about education? Did they...
Well, no, my grandparents didn't go to finish school because they grew up way back, and they grew up on a farm, so they had to survive and, you know, out and help their parents. That was the only thing told me, and I don't think my grandmother finished school than my grandfather, but my grandmother could read. She still could read, and my grandfather could read. He worked for the university until he retired.
What did he do for the university?
No, I take it back. He worked for the town.
Uh-huh.
One of those people go around and pick up...
Janitor?
No, pick up off the street, the little stick.
Yeah.
That's what my grandfather did.
Uh-huh.
But he worked for the town for 30-some years.
Did your mother take an active role in the PTA when you were in school?
No, no.
They did not. And you went to Northside?
Yeah, I went to Northside too, also. First grade to sixth.
Uh-huh. And when did you leave Northside? What, remember the year when you graduated?
I think it was around 59. 58 or 59.
And then you went to Lincoln and graduated Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. I went to Lincoln in seventh grade.
What was Northside like?
Oh, Northside was fun. It was a lot of fun, and we had good teachers. Mrs. R.D. Smith's wife, she was one of my teachers.
What did she teach?
First grade.
Did she teach you first, second, and third?
Yeah. Uh-huh. First and second.
So you had one teacher for three grades?
In some of them, but Ms. Hargrave taught special education. Ms. Smith taught first and second.
Uh-huh.
Ms. Peace taught first and second, I think it was. I think it was two teachers. Same teacher for first and second, I think it was. But it's been so long ago, but I think that's what it was.
And how about?
And Mrs. Robinson taught fourth grade. I was in her class in the fourth grade.
Uh-huh. How about fifth and sixth?
The fifth grade, I think my teacher was named Miss Monroe.
Uh-huh. did you have...
I forgot my fifth or sixth grade teacher.
Northside was where? The end of Caldwell Street?
Yeah.
There?
Mm-hmm. Which is called Northside Lane, name.
Uh-huh. Now, did they have paved streets there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was paved when, by the time you got there.
Wait a minute. Let me quit. No, it wasn't paved.
So you had
it. It wasn't paved because we had a big old, I remember we used to have to jump wall and go to the store. Mr. Bannon Weaver had a store. And we used to sneak off the school ground and go to the store before school started.
Uh-huh.
And you're right, it was a dirt road. It was a dirt street. One little old wide street.
Mm-hmm. Did they still have the rock pile when you were there?
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah.
So you had a big rock pile?
It was a sidewalk made out of rock.
Now I'm thinking of the rock pile from which you watched the softball games.
Mm-mm.
They didn't have it then.
Uh-uh.
Okay. Did they have an auditorium when you were there?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we had auditorium. Mm-hmm.
Did you have programs, regular programs in the auditorium?
Yes, we had programs in different parts of the week. But we all met in the morning in the auditorium.
I see.
Every morning before you go to class, we all met in the auditorium.
And what did you do when you met in the morning before class?
We pledged allegiance to the flag.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Did you say a prayer?
Yeah, we said a prayer, pledged allegiance to the flag, and then we went to class.
Sing a song or anything?
I think we sing the school song.
Uh-huh.
I think it was school song.
And did they have announcements?
Oh yeah, they did. You know, they had announcements of what the activity was going to be for that day.
Uh-huh.
And then we sung a school anthem and pledged allegiance to the flag, and that was about it. And then sometime during the week, they would call us in the gym for different activities that were going to go on during the day.
Did you have an assembly in the gym where they were, I guess they put chairs in when you had your assembly?
Mm-hmm.
And did they have programs, singing or a choral group or a band or anything like that? Or acting presented?
At Northside?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we would... Like when I was in the fourth grade, we had a little instrument.
A guitar?
No, we played the cymbals. Uh-huh. And flute and things like that.
So you could get up and perform during assembly?
Well, we was in a group.
Uh-huh.
Each class had a group to do different things.
So?
And like one year, I think it was in the fourth grade, I was in the flute class.
Uh-huh.
And that was Mr. Robinson's class. And then one year I was in the group, we played the little triangle, the little cymbals,
uh-huh.
The thing you make noise, bing, bing, bing,
yeah.
Like that. Mm-hmm. We did different activities.
She didn't follow.
Okay.
Was this common to have a lot of activities during assembly or during class?
Oh, yes, it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that was a part of the activity of going to school, because we even had a May Day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We had May Day. Every May we would wrap the pole.
Mm-hmm.
We even did that in Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
And now that's on the film.
Oh, great.
But you can't see that, but it's on me.
Thinking back, did you feel that the school was performance oriented? That there was always something going on, somebody doing something, not necessarily sports, but other things.
Well, tell you the truth, Bob, I was just so happy to be involved. Stuff like that didn't even really cross my mind.
Uh-huh.
on how often that they were doing it. But as a young girl coming up, I was just, as you say, I was glad to participate in anything that they had at school. And if I could get in it, I got in it. And I didn't have any problem with my parents.
Uh-huh.
As long as I kept my grades up.
What are the activities that you got involved in, girl?
Well, I've always been real active. I've played basketball. I've played drums in the band, and I played saxophone. I was a majorette. I played basketball majorette. And at Northside, we had a band, little band. I was in that, and our instructor always taught us how to play drums. Even though if you played a saxophone, you had to learn another instrument in the band. So I chose the drums.
Well, you were active. Mm-hmm. Saxophone?
Yep.
Drum?
Well, I had saxophone lessons at school. In,
who taught you the saxophone at school?
I don't even remember the man's name. But I know when I got to Lincoln, Mr. Eshes taught me also. I kept doing the drums and the saxophone. So Mr. Eshes taught me mostly what I knew when I got in high school.
Now, did you know anything about Lincoln High School before you went there?
Not really. I just knew I was going to a new school and I would be in the seventh grade.
Mm-hmm. People didn't talk about it in the community where you live?
Not really.
Mm-hmm. Did you know any of the teachers from Lincoln?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, before you went there?
I knew a couple because one of my best friends, mother ran a boarding house, and it was for teachers, and a couple of the teachers that was at Lincoln
lived in
the boarding house, which was Miss Allen. Last name was Allen.
What were the teachers like at Lincoln?
Oh, we had some wonderful teachers. There were caring teachers. They were just like another mother, and they cared about you, wanted to make sure that you were doing the right thing, stayed out of trouble, and could help you with anything that possibly helped you.
Did you feel that they taught you to live a certain way, taught you how to survive?
Well, I feel like they taught me how to survive after I became a young, older person as an adult, I started working when I was 15, which I didn't have to, but because my parents gave me allowance every week, but it's something I wanted to do and I enjoyed doing because I had friends that were doing it too. I started working at Lenore Dining Hall when I was 15, part-time after school. But my teachers, you know, they just, in a sense, just put in our heads that, you know, when you get older, things are going to change. You're going to have education to move up. And you don't have to be a genius, but you're going to have a good education to get a good job. Things like that was in store to us, you know. And to pick out a career that you thought you would like to have to make more money than just the average of what you were making. So that was one of my goals.
Are there any particular teachers that stand out that you thought were influential on your life from Lincoln?
Yes, Miss Pope, she taught home economics. She taught me really, she didn't teach me how to cook, but she taught me some things that I hadn't learned from home about cooking, such as being, reading recipes and sewing. I learned sewing. I even got, when I graduated, I got a certificate for one of the best sewers in the homemade. And Ms. Bassnight and Ms. Clemens taught me typing, which I at least learned, we had to learn the basics. She was the type that taught typing. Back then, a teacher could use a ruler, a palette. And she didn't like talking in her class, and if she caught you talking, she'd pout you. And when she said learn the keyboard by heart, she meant learn by heart. So when she gave a test and you didn't know that keyboard, she'd come over with that ruler and pop your little fingers. Back then, you know, nothing said. And I'm glad that she did that because I'm not a well typer, but I know how to type. I know the basics.
Because of her?
Because of her, I know the basics. And Miss Bastnight, and she also, Miss Bastnight taught me basketball, everything I know about basketball. And Mr. Smith was a great teacher. He was like an all-around teacher to me. I mean, it wasn't nothing he couldn't do. And his main job, I thought at the time, was teaching boys to in shop, learn how to build and lay bricks. But he took time enough to teach girls too if they wanted to learn it. So I was in one of his workshops.
So he taught boys and girls?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If the girls wanted to sign up for shop, they could. So I signed up for shop. And he taught me a little bit about laying bricks. So I know how to lay a brick. I don't know how to work with a car, but I know how to lay a brick.
What was it that made R.D. Smith special to the students?
Well, I say to most of us, I'm speaking mainly for myself and a few that I know. I grew up around Mr. Smith. I mean, he lived on Church Street, and I had an aunt live on Church Street, but he knew my parents knew him, but he was sort of like a father away from home. You know, if you saw him, you knew you had to stand tall, because you had to be right. That's the type of man he was, you know. And he was a good man. He was caring, and if you did something wrong, he let you know, and he popped you if he had to, and then tell you gonna tell your mama. But Miss Smith was an outstanding man. And Mr. McDougal, I just adored him. At the time, I thought I had hated guts.
Why? Why those mixed feelings?
But I'm glad he was like that, because back then, you know, we thought, well, some of us thought that he was the meanest principal you ever seen. But after growing up and seeing how kids are today, they need more McDougals. But see, Mr. McDougal was the type of principal, what he says go. No matter what nobody said outside the school system, what he said go. And it wasn't anything bad, because like, we couldn't come to school with blue jeans on. And if you came to school, he would be standing at the front door like this. And if you came to school with some blue jeans on, he'd tell you, you had to go back home. You're not dressed properly. Or if you were late, you too early for tomorrow and too late for the day. That was his motto. And he was just the type of principal, he didn't let the kids rule him. You know, he wasn't scared of the kids or the parents. That's the type of principal he was. When he made a rule, he stuck to it. And if he knew you were doing something wrong, he put you to work. He didn't send you home. He put you to work. He didn't care who saw you. If he said go wash 30 windows, you go wash 30 windows. If you did something wrong, you was in a fight, it takes two to fight. That's his motto, it takes two to fight. He put one to work here and one to work there. It wasn't no go home to your parents, you know. And that was just the type of man he was. He just had his rules and he stuck to them. And I admire that now that I grew up, you know.
But you had some problems with it.
Well, back then we just thought he was mean, you know. Some things he said, we just thought it was mean. But it was really, he was looking out for our interests, you know, trying to show us what life was going to be like if we didn't do what someone told us to do. That was the impression I got.
Between the time you went to high school, 7th grade and 12th grade, how many students would you say dropped out of your class?
I don't think, out of my class, I don't think it was more than six, about six.
And how many graduated? You remember?
I think it was 80 some of us.
80?
Mm-hmm.
What year was that?
63. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it was 80 something, maybe more. Alberto. No.
So, you were a member of the band?
Oh, yeah.
And a drum majorette?
Yes.
And played basketball?
And I was a baton twirler first.
And a baton twirler.
You became baton twirler before you became a majorette.
Uh-huh.
And I moved up to a majorette.
What was the difference between a majorette and a baton twirler?
Baton twirler, you march with the band, but you use your hands with the baton, different chores with your hands with the baton.
Mm-hmm.
And a majorette, you just march and hold your head up, throw your legs up and move. of a ton twirler. You twirl a ton, different ways, different oxygen ways, and things like that.
What did it mean to you to be a drum major and a baton twirler?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I really did. I enjoyed being in the band. I really did. And it was just not so much of being, you know, major at a drum major. I enjoyed just marching down the street or up Mid Road. At first, when I was in the band, we always came from Lincoln High up to Main Street. And then, I think when we became a junior and senior, we used to start down at the planetarium and come our way through Carver.
And what that was for what, homecoming?
That was for Christmas and homecoming. For homecoming, most of the time we would march from Lincoln High School to Carver to the ball field.
What was the ball field?
It was a football field in Carver, right behind Carver Fire Station there. It used to be a field, big open field, that wood fence.
Uh-huh.
That used to be where we played football.
And what was the name of the field?
I'm not sure. Did Ed know? I think Ed know.
Well, I think...